The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year. All right, hey guys, welcome to episode 8 of Gin Talks. This is a really exciting episode. I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
And this episode is called Open Book Living. And Katie's going to tell you why it's called that.
Okay, first of all, I need to let you know if you hear anything in the background, we are in a different location. We are on location at a local elementary school. This is where we meet every other week to write with some middle school girls. So we are here this morning before they come in to do this recording, and the special thing we have is our first interview.
Yay!
With a local author and dear friend. And the greatest thing about her is how much she loves Jesus. Mm-hmm. She exudes peace, and she walks into a room and everybody just kind of breathes a little bit easier because she just carries around the aroma of Christ. Mm-hmm. I first met Toya years ago at Choose Life, which is a crisis pregnancy center, but she was just one of the speakers, and she and her husband have a ministry, and they just pour into couples, but just she was a breath of fresh air, and she captured my heart. I felt like she was my friend. And then a couple years after that, I called her and asked her to come do Freedom Writers with me. And to give a talk about her life to the girls at another local middle school. And since then, we have been fast friends, and she has been a mentor and just a godsend in my life. So I would like to introduce you to Toya Poplar, and she will tell you about our new awesome intro and exit music. So she had a great connection that a new friend of ours, although we haven't met face to face, but we feel like he's our friend. So Toya Poplar.
Toya.
Thank you.
Yay!
Our first guest.
Oh my goodness. That moment when your mentor says that you're her mentor.
I'm so sorry that you're thank you.
Oh my goodness, thank you. And thank you, Caitlin.
Yes. And same for me. Me and Toya met because of Katie at another writing group and became fast friends. When she walked into the room, I was like, I want to be her friend.
I
don't know if she wanted to be mine, but when I made her be my friend.
I did. I was like, Katie, I love her.
Well, good. Yeah. We all love each other then.
Yes, yay. We do.
And we share that writing bond. Yes. We all love to write. We express ourselves. It's part of our therapy. Mm-hmm. It's how we, it's part of our life. It's part of our DNA.
Yes, yes. And so our friendships are like beautiful music. And the intro music that we had today was by my cousin. His name is Timothy. However, he goes by the name of Two.
T-W-O.
Yes. Like the number. When he was 2 years old, you would say, hey, what's your name? He'd say Two. And you'd say, how old are you? He'd say Two.
That's so cute. I was wondering where the name came from. So
yes. My nickname when I was little was Two Shoes.
Oh, my goodness.
So you can tell Two that. And Aunt Lita doesn't remember why she called me Two Shoes.
Oh.
I don't. Yeah, but I was Two Shoes.
That is precious.
There we go.
Two and two shoes.
And so Two is well into his 20s, and he's still Two in my heart and in my mind. But his name is Two Minds Productions. That is the name of his production company.
Okay.
And he has produced countless tracks for so many of my husband's albums, and he is brilliantly gifted, and he's always had a love affair with music, much like my love affair with words. And mm-hmm. So I'm so happy to see him operating in his call, and he's just gifted. He's always been brilliantly gifted, and I'm so proud of him. So,
anyone else out there that's listening that is ever thinking about doing a podcast and you like what you hear, then just it will be in the show notes, so you can contact him and let him know that you heard about him through what is the name of our podcast?
Gin Talks.
Wait, I just had a complete brain attack.
No, every time I introduce it, I'm like, welcome to our podcast. I know I'm going to forget the name and be like, oh.
Love it. Yes, it will be in the show notes, so don't feel like you've missed it now. But if you like what you hear, he is available.
Yeah. Yes. And I'm humbled and honored to be here, so thank you so much
for having me. We're so excited. So excited.
Yes.
Our first local celebrity.
Yes, I know she is a local celebrity.
You are.
Oh my goodness, y'all are trying to make me cry.
Oh no. And the whole idea behind the title of this podcast, Open Book Living, Toya, like Katie said, is an author. She's written a book, and she just lives her life very openly, like an open book. So she doesn't hide things. She kind of lets out all her strengths and weaknesses, and that way everyone can see and relate, and, you know, the Me Too effect. So when someone's going through something or someone has been through something, it's so nice to be able to relate to them. And when we live our lives like an open book, it just kind of makes it easier for everyone to latch on and read the book. And Katie,
and I was telling them, like, right before, is that if we don't live as an open book, people make up our story for us. And we do it subconsciously, I believe, sometimes.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, there's been times I've been pleasantly surprised and didn't even realize that I had an assumption about someone. And I'm like, oh, gosh, Lord, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't have, no, I thought anything. So, just if we tell our story and share them, then people really, all they can do with that is either glean from it or turn away from it. But you can't bash someone that's an open book.
Mm-hmm. So true.
Yeah, because that would just be mean.
Yeah, because they're presenting it to you. Take me as I am.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to start with, I can't decide if I want to start with book or family. Family.
Right.
Tell us about your family.
Yeah. Yay, my little big family. I have six children. My husband and I have six children. We met in high school, and so it's really neat. We celebrate our anniversary this weekend. And
how many years?
17 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
And thank you so much. Thank you. It's really fascinating to me.
That's a huge accomplishment.
It is, but it's weird because it doesn't feel long enough.
Yeah.
I feel like we grew up together. But 17 is significant to me because he was 17 when we met. Mm-hmm. I was 16. So when you get to the point where you exceed the number of years that you were alive when you met, you're like, wow, I've known you. I've been married to you longer than I had been alive when we met. So that's really special to me. We have kind of like two sets of kids. So our youngest are 6, 7, and 8, and our oldest are 14, 16, and 18.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You do have like two, like a big gap. That's so sweet though. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. So we have the buddy system. It's good stuff. Excuse me. But, so, yeah, I'm just happy to be a mama of many and get to grow up with my kids. I feel like you set out to raise kids, and then God uses them to grow you up in areas that you didn't know you needed to grow.
So. Very true. Tell my kids, I was like, we can be like sandpaper to each other. Like, wearing off each other's rough edges.
Yes.
I was like, that's a good thing.
It's so true.
I think of my husband and I, we are polar opposites. Mm-hmm. And there are times, yes, that we bug each other, but we've worn each other edges. You know, God's like, I'm going to give you someone that's very different than you.
Like, iron sharpens
iron.
Yes.
That need to come off. And y'all will do that for each other.
Yes.
And I love that. I've seen you and Melvin do that together, too. Just the way y'all work together in ministry together, the way that you highlight each other and celebrate each other when it's her husband is a Christian rapper, and he is extremely gifted with music, but he's also an engineer. He is a Renaissance man, and he can make anything. He made a rocket in their backyard. It was, like, really accurate to a rocket, just so you know. But his name is the Proverbalist. Did I say it correctly? And it too will be in the show notes. But when there's been events like an album release, and Toya's the MC who introduces him, the way she celebrates him is absolutely beautiful. And then when she's had events where it's been about the release of her book or other things, he'll introduce her, and I'm just going, oh, the way y'all celebrate each other is so
beautiful.
And that you stand in the back and are each other's biggest encouragers. And a quote I heard a long time ago, and I've always tucked it in my pocket to remember in marriage, was, it is not a wife's job to humble their husbands.
Yeah.
The world is yeah. doing, I mean, knocking their knees out from under mm-hmm. them all day, every day, and that we're to be their biggest encouragers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I really loved that. Mm-hmm. And I try and remember that, but y'all are a perfect example of that. Y'all highlight each other, and it's beautiful.
Well, thank you. I love him. He's pretty special.
What has been the biggest lesson you have learned in 17 years of marriage, if you could say, like, one thing?
Because Caitlin, remember, y'all, is engaged.
Yes.
So she's going to glean some gold.
I love a good piece of marriage advice.
A good marriage quote. Well, my husband and I used to be premarital counselors.
Okay.
And he would oftentimes tell our couples, don't have a $1 million wedding and a 50-cent marriage.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Got chills. Mm-hmm. Because we've been going through, we're going through wedding planning, and I would like to say I'm pretty proud of myself, because for the most part I have been focused on that, because he's a teacher, so he's not like raking in the money, and he always says, I feel so bad I can't give you like the life you always wanted to live. And I was like, Caleb, the life I always wanted to live was with someone that loved me like you love me.
Oh,
so,
that's so good.
We could get
and
married.
Someone that loves Jesus first. Because I can say that about Caleb, who I don't know well. So for me to even be able to say that is that he radiates the love of Christ. When you're with him, the way your light shines, it's really beautiful.
It is. Yeah. And I told him that. I was like, Caleb, I don't care where we get married, whatever. I want it to be nice, of course. But, I mean, there are people spending.
Yes.
Lots of money. And people who are our friends are getting married around us, and it's like, what are they doing? You know, but I've really focused on that. So I'm glad you said that. Because
no comparison. No comparison.
Yeah.
Kills the contentment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you can't, like you said, you cannot have a $1 million wedding and a 50-cent marriage. Like the $1 million should be spent on the marriage. And I'm like confident in that. So that's a good piece of advice. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yep. That's good stuff.
Yes.
Okay, so tell us about your book.
My book.
So good.
Yay.
I love it. I tell everyone about it.
Oh, thank you so much.
It too will be in the show notes.
Yes.
Yay.
You can get one.
Awesome. My book is called Stop Right There, and it's WRITE because it's an interactive journal. So it's a little bit of me and it's a whole lot of you. I have poetry and prompts and scripture to encourage you to write what's in your heart. So my prayer is that completion of my book will be the beginning of you writing your own.
I love that.
They're wonderful writing prompts, and the poetry is fantastic.
Oh,
it really
you.
Is one of the best books that I've ever read. So it really in time for Christmas. So
I wish we could go real Oprah and be like, you get a book. To all of our listeners.
Everybody
gets a book.
Awesome.
Everybody gets a book.
Giveaway.
Stop right there for all of you.
Yeah. Yes.
Sorry we can't do that. And I'm not even sure how many listeners are listening, so it might be only a few
millions.
That we get.
Totally millions.
Millions.
Of all the millions of people. Yes. Actually, you know what's so sweet? I've had opportunities to have my little Oprah moments because people have sponsored books. And when they do, I get to give them to kids and teens, and it's the best feeling ever. So recently I did a book sponsorship at the Boys and Girls Club, and I went to be a blessing to one classroom, and I had enough books to do two classrooms because of people's generosity.
Yeah.
And then there was a third classroom of older girls who came in. They said, Miss Toya, we want a book. And I was like, baby, I'm sorry, I don't have enough. And I was about two books short of being able to give the entire class. And one of them said, well, can I have this copy? And I said, I'm so sorry. That's my copy. It's got my stuff in it. And I wanted to give one to them so bad. And right then, one of the leaders came in the room and she said, Miss Poplar, we just got this package in the mail. And it was two more books that somebody sent in. And it was delivered while we were there. So I went with the intent to give one class books, and yet walked away and three classes were blessed because of people's kindness. So that was awesome.
Okay, that to me is totally just that open hand, like it's what you let go that multiplies.
Yes.
And if we hold it, all we'll ever at best have is what we have in our hands.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You've said that before, and that like really resonated with me when you let go of it.
I usually say the things over and over.
I love
that
it.
God's working on me. He's like, you know, the
we
more
have to
I say
ourselves.
It, yes. And speaking of just sharing our lives today, I woke up this morning and we talked about this before you got here. So I said, is my writing too serious? Like, do I just go to the deep end too fast? I probably scare people off. But yesterday I realized that God had prepared me in my quiet time for that, what I was going to wrestle with this morning, because I was in Deuteronomy and the Israelites were once again repeating their story of freedom to the Lord. And I'm thinking, He clearly knows the freedom story. Mm-hmm. He gave you your freedom. Mm-hmm. He was there. And y'all continually repeat it back to the one who gave it to you. And that makes God happy.
Yeah.
So when I think, okay, have I said this a million times? Have I written this a million times? I think He's going, it's kind of the point.
Yep.
Like, I want you to tell your freedom story. I want you to talk about your walk with me. I want you to go to the deep end of the pool, because even if, I mean, other people can check out, but if it helps one and points them to me, then that's the whole point. I was like, okay.
Isn't that wonderful, though, when you get an answer like that?
Yes.
That, like, just calms your heart.
And He really had prepared me yesterday morning. I wish I had read that before I went to bed, because I would have woken up not. Mm-hmm. And I've always said I was going to do that. Mm-hmm. If I would just read what I wrote in the morning, right before I go to bed, I realize His faithfulness throughout the day.
Yes. Yeah.
But I keep forgetting to.
To read it again at night.
Yes. Because I think He's going, oh, you have no idea how much I spoke to you this morning.
Mm-hmm. To prepare you for the day.
That's so good.
Yeah,
yes.
That is so good.
Mm-hmm. That's on my list to do.
Yes.
I'm going to put that in the show notes too.
Y'all going to get it in these show notes.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the diversity dinners and Save Our Sons, because this has been, I don't know, just talk. It's so good.
Toya does a lot of really great stuff.
Wow. So the Lord in and through Toya just shines bright.
Yes.
I'm so blessed to have dream team member friends that play nice and dream big like I do. So Save Our Sons, back in 2014, April Bodie contacted me and she said, Toya, we got to do something about these boys. And I was like, okay, what's going on? She's like, well, I feel like they need a class on police pullover etiquette, because they're learning stuff off the internet and off YouTube that could really get them killed. And I know that people were trying to empower, but they would say things like, well, ask for the badge number, and just things that would be disrespectful for any authority figure. And so I said, okay, April, what do you want to do? And she said, I just think we should get some men of integrity and just have them, like, on a panel where they talk to you. And so I said, okay, cool. So we called Art Leslie at the Huntsville Inner City Learning Center, and we said, Art, this is our vision. Will you help us with it? And he said, absolutely. So they opened their facilities to us, and we asked men of integrity, just, will you come? Because we were like, we don't just want them safe, we want them saved. So we asked Christian men to speak into their lives, and it was really neat because they were from different demographics, and it didn't matter what their level measure of success was, or it just didn't matter what their occupation was. They all had these shared experiences of having been pulled over by the police, and their conversation and their conduct was the thing that kept everything peaceful.
Yeah.
And so it was really powerful to hear Black men have this safe place in which they could share these experiences. And kind of like, my husband does a talk called The Things Nobody Ever Told Me. This was their opportunity to tell young men maybe things that they haven't been told, but lessons that they had learned over time. So it was just amazing, because there was diversity in the youth as well. We had inner city youth. We had youth that attend private school. We had, you know, just, it was just awesome because they were so receptive. I believe that everybody got what they needed, but also what they didn't know that they needed. And mamas got to listen. And I think that was powerful, because my husband has often told me, I would joke on him like, babe, why do you get dressed up to go to the bank? It's your money. That's crazy. It's your money. And he'd say, Toya, you're not a Black man. And I'd be like, what does he mean? So when we'd fly, I'd be like, babe, why do you have on a tie? Like, why are you dressed up to fly? When I fly, I want to, like, practically wear pajamas.
Yes,
I want to be comfortable, you know? And he says, babe, you don't understand. You're not a Black man. You get totally different. You get completely different service when you're dressed up. You know, these are things that he learned over time. And so when everything got really crazy in our nation this past summer, And I'd like to say when everything was publicized, because I think crazy stuff had been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
But April called me again. She's like, Toya, it's time. We need to do something. So back in 2014, that was kind of way ahead of its time. And back then, she's like, what do you want to call it? Because it's kind of like a SOS distress signal. I was like, oh! And we both, I kid you not, because we both love words. I think at the same time, we might have said, save our sons, you know? And so, and you got to know April. You all know April. She just savors
April
words.
April will be in the show notes, too.
Yes.
Because she's has a food ministry and she is good, but that's a whole nother story. Okay,
yes.
She can be a guest another time.
Yes, she's a phenomenal speaker, an amazing writer, and she's a lover of words. Mm-hmm. She like savors all things pretty and yummy and magically delicious.
She too lives completely open-handed, open-homed, open-hearted.
Yes, open kitchen.
Yes, get a house full of boys.
Yes, she's amazing. She says she's an unlicensed foster care home. But she said, let's do something again. And so we contacted Central Presbyterian Church, the Cooper House. So Russell Sisk is an amazing guy. He's just a supporter. I think Russell's a facilitator of dreams and doesn't even know it. Like anytime there's an amazing vision, we're like, Russell! And so anyhow, Russell lives a really diverse life. He's coached lots of boys and he just has a heart for like inner city youth. He has a heart for people, period. And Russell's unique in that he is a white male who has African-American sons. And so, cool. I mean, they're biracial sons, but it's just a fascinating thing because a lot of times you don't think if somebody gets stopped, they're not going to be like, but hold up, my dad is white. You know what I'm saying? And so anyhow, it was near and dear to his heart as well. And we hosted a panel. We had pastors, law enforcement, community leaders, youth, and fathers on this panel.
And I was there that night. It was powerful.
It was amazing. About 75 people came and we had dinner, and our goal that night was to discuss who we are, where we are going, and what do we need to do in order to get there as believers, as true ministers of reconciliation. What do we need? What is our role? And we decided the first one was all black, but we knew it was vital to open up to every race because we just needed there was just time to take back the dialogue. The media had portrayed us as being so divided. And we were like, but we live these really diverse lives. So let's give people a picture of the life that we live.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, media, but sorry, but you stir the hate a lot.
Yeah, not everyone not everyone
makes
is divided.
It worse. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, y'all could be such instruments of light.
Yes.
Like, where you actually highlight the good stories where God is working. And if you don't want to put a God label on it, there's lots of really great stories. And what happens is when people see the good stories, they're like, oh my gosh, the assumption that they hated me is not always true. And and that can foster the pay it forward. Like,
and the thing is with me, I mean, I used to work in news and I always tried to like sneak in the good stories because I just loved them and I knew people needed them and they were craving them, but they would always tell me that's not what gets ratings, clicks. It's the bad news that gets that.
I was like,
I disagree, because when I do a good news story and I would post it out there and people would see it, it would get shares and likes. And I was like,
they're feeding the lie.
And I mean, there is bad going on for sure, but there is also good. So why are we not showing that? Again, open book.
Yes. Like
they were letting us, a lot of times, and I hate to say, oh, the media is all bad, because there are people who are wonderful.
Yes, I don't mean a blanket statement.
When things like that happen and people are getting a lot of negative, you're letting us read a few chapters of the book.
Right.
And we're not getting to read the rest of it that shows like a happier ending. And that's just a shame because, like you said, while some of the world was divided, some of us were coming together.
And
I just don't think they should share these bad stories if they don't at least throw in an opportunity or brainstorming of how to do something.
Yeah.
What is the point of just throwing out these horrible stories?
Like, we need a call to action.
There needs to be a call to action.
I totally
with every
agree.
Story.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's actually what Save Our Sons was. Yeah. It was just a call to action. And while we were there, people didn't want to leave. They were like, because honestly, y'all know the greater the darkness, the brighter the light shines.
Yeah.
So it was so warm, fuzzy, and so peaceful. And people were like, what do we do next? They didn't want to leave. We were like, okay, guys, we got to shut it down.
You gotta go home.
We don't ever have hopes of doing this again. We don't want to wear out our welcome. But they were just like, well, what do we do? And I said, well, let's break bread. And so we did diversity dinners. That's how we came up with those. They were just a spinoff of Save Our Sons. And it was potluck poetry and perspective.
So I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Katie's all about the alliteration.
I got to share a poem at the mic. It was so fun.
It was so good. Katie opened up our first diversity dinner with an amazing poem. Was the title of that poem? It was Diverse But Not Divided.
Yeah, Diverse But Not Divided.
So good. So good.
You need is that on your blog?
United.
It is on my blog.
Okay, yes. Her blog will be in the show notes.
Yes.
So, but her blog is really great, so you can find that poem.
And I'll continue to put blog sites on the show notes as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so we just did our second diversity dinner, and it was amazing. And every time it's a box of chocolates, we don't know what we're going to get. Mm-hmm. But we did listening exercises as well as a demographic variable activity, which was really powerful. So our next one will be in February, and mm-hmm. whosoever will, let them come.
Yes.
So we did it on a Tuesday night. We're trying to shoot for the first Tuesday of every other month, but we're not sure about that because we want our April to be there, and she has Tuesday night bus ministry, so we're going to work something out somehow.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I need to go. I need to make sure.
I would love for you to come.
Go. That sounds amazing.
Okay, we're going to end with this. Gosh, our time goes so fast.
I know.
Fast.
It just flies by.
Toya has been, she's almost 40.
Yes.
And
yes.
She has been on her blog doing a 40 days until 40. And it has been so inspirational. Mm-hmm. And she and I both have holiday birthdays. Mm-hmm. Hers is December 29th and mine is December 31st. So she inspired me with her 40 days till 40 to do a 31 days of hindsight. So we've both been blogging each day. Just I'm looking back and
I attempted to blog every day and have done a very bad job of it.
Well, I went into panic mode before midnight one night. I was like,
I didn't do it. Yeah, but I will say they both inspired me to at least try, which made me write more than I was writing. I've been in a very bad lull of not writing a lot, so it has helped break the ice just a little
bit. It's a prompt. It really is. It's a goad you along. It's a and looking back really does help in the most amazing way.
It's been therapy for me.
Yeah. So tell us about 40 days to 40.
It's just been encouragement for the listener. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the reader, and therapy for me.
Yeah.
And it has truly been a time to just be an open book. And it's amazing how vulnerable writing can be to where you are exposing your private parts to the world.
Yeah.
And what's incredible is that people love it. So the comments and the emails and the messages and the feedback that I've received has been the greatest birthday gift I could ever hope to have. Just because people are joining me in that journey.
Yeah.
And it's an honor to know that people will listen to the quiet places of your heart. So I think it's unique. As well as being a mama of six, just to carve out that time, it has been an amazing treat to myself. It's been labor intensive, I will not lie, but it's been me doing something that I love. So I feel really blessed. Plus, I blend photography in with it. So I feel like it's my time to be
She's a photographer, too, and she's really good at that. Really
good.
She's a Renaissance woman. That, too, will be in the show notes.
Yes.
Poppertree of Life Photography.
Well, thank you. But I feel like it's a time where I've been able to give myself something that I give my clients all year round. And it's just been really encouraging to have people accompany me on that trip. So,
what was your favorite... If you can pick, that's a hard question. What was your favorite one you've written so far?
So far, oh my goodness,
there have been
I've
so many
loved
good ones.
So many of them. I have. Caitlin,
put you on the spot with that.
You
question.
Know what? In the last week, I wrote one called Beauty and Brains.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes, and that's been so sweet because that's a paying it forward type thing. And you know how the Bible tells us to let another man praise your works? When I get to praise somebody else's works,
yes,
it's so rewarding. It's so fulfilling.
We get to praise yours. That's like, we were so excited to get to, excited we get to lift her up and share about everything that God is doing in and through her. And
Well, thank you. And then that's a win-win, too, because I don't just get to promote the authors. I get to promote a local boutique, She's So J Boutique. And so I just love that. That just being able to bring light to what someone else is already doing.
Yeah.
So that's fun. And that's probably my favorite so far, just because it involved the aspect of community.
Yeah.
And Jenny Erlingson is amazing. Her book, Becoming His. I had to drop her book.
Yes.
And that'll be phenomenal. Please get it.
Okay.
Yes, it is life-changing. So, and it promotes
Jenny's
sisterhood.
Jenny's a local teacher, like Bible teacher, and just she has just a beautiful voice for the Lord.
Yeah, she's phenomenal.
Yeah, she is.
I've watched her just emerge into this amazing woman of God. She's always been powerful, but I've known her since she was in college, and I just admire her so much. So
Jenny is married to a man named Thor, who is just a mighty man of God also, mm-hmm. and Thor is from Iceland, and they are a dynamic duo for mm-hmm. the kingdom. They really are. Mm-hmm. They're a delight.
Yes.
They
sound
very wonderful. Amazing. I always had, my husband's like, you don't have to think of everybody reminding you of someone, but she does remind me of Priscilla Shire.
Yes. Yes. And Nicole C. Mullen mixed together.
Oh, both of yes.
them. Yeah. Tag team.
That's a good combo.
What a good combo.
No, and
okay, the way we end, we're not going to do us today, but we're going to ask you some of the lightning round questions. There's three that we do a relational kind of family mm-hmm. from when you were young. We do a cultural from when you were young. Mm-hmm. And we do a, what's the other one?
Spiritual.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so the first one is, what would be from your childhood the biggest, like, political or event that happened in the world that you remember, like when you were little, on the news, something that rocked the culture
mm-hmm.
in a good or bad way?
Goodness.
These questions are hard.
I would say Rodney King
mm-hmm.
was really something that rocked my world.
Real quick, we forgot to tell you, she's smack dab in the middle of us generationally.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's very cool.
Yeah. Well, she's a little bit closer to me than you. But,
yeah.
yeah.
But we do. We have different answers. All of us have had different answers.
Yeah. Yes. Mom was 9/11.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's
I remember
when I was
listening to mm-hmm. that episode. I was like, wow, she's young.
I know when I walked in today,
hostage crisis.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And when Reagan was shot.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Someone thought I was Katie's daughter this morning.
Aww. And I will receive that.
He said, you look like a little kid. And I was like, I don't have any makeup on.
No one says.
Yes.
Okay. So
Rodney King.
Rodney King.
And I'm sure there's so many other things I could have thought of, but that stands out to me.
Yeah.
I was a teenager, and I remember marching. I remember doing like a 6 mile march or something. And in my hometown, there was a case of police brutality around the same time of a young man named Lewis Green. So their names rhyme, Lewis Green, Rodney King. Mm-hmm. And I remember mm-hmm. that. And that really, it wasn't something that was afar off. It was something that hit home. And by the time I was in college, I just think seeing some of the systemic issues really shaped who I am now. So I had that activist spirit as a kid, and I think that once grace radically changed my life, I used that same passion, but for the purpose of reconciliation.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
Rodney King really affected me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then as a child, spiritual mentor,
my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
My daddy. My dad. He was my hero, which most little girls will say mm-hmm. that, but my father was a pastor and he was a social worker and he was an artist and he was a photographer. And it's not until
I know,
seriously, mm-hmm. he was a poet, an incredible poet. Both my parents are wordsmiths. And so my dad was definitely a spiritual mentor, but he passed when I was 7. And it's just amazing that if I can only remember probably ages 4 till 7, look at how much he shaped me and his legacy impacted my life. Because I'm so much him in so many ways. And yet he was there for such a short amount of time. So I'm just thankful for the quality time. It doesn't take a lot of quantity as a parent, but the quality can can last a lifetime. So I'm grateful for my father and my auntie. My aunt Liz, after he passed away, she kind of took the spiritual baton and took me to church and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I actually wore her ring to a party last night, and that was so special to me. And that's actually Tu's grandmother. So,
okay.
Yeah, his mom's my first cousin, and I had been the baby in the family for a long time until he came. So,
nice little connector there. Yeah. Okay, and since it's Christmas time, our last one will be your favorite Christmas memory from when you were little.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness. That. My favorite Christmas memory, my mother brought me this beautiful brick dollhouse. And my father brought me a U-Haul truck. And I played with U-Haul truck like a crazy person and sat on the dollhouse and scooted through the house and tore it apart. I just know that for some reason that U-Haul truck meant so much to me. And you'd think the Frou Frou dollhouse would have meant something, but...
I will put U-Haul in the show notes. Shout out to U-Haul!
Yes!
Love it.
Oh, my goodness, we could talk forever.
I know,
yes.
I know.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So wonderful to hear about your life that is an open book. And for everyone that gets to read it, I know they love to read your book. Literally your book, but your life as well, so...
The song You Make Me Brave has always been one of my favorites. And by Liffen, open booked it. But it is Christ in you. So I know it's Christ, but it helps us to live brave. And you know, it's just another way of saying the gift of me too, or the gift of going first for someone.
Yes.
Yeah. They feel like they can also.
God uses that a lot.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if we have an enemy of our soul that accuses us constantly, then when we expose ourselves, then he can't take conjecture make up our story, you know? And so I always say that I tell young people, I put myself on blast so that the enemy cannot.
Yep.
And once you get things into the light, it loses its power over you. So.
Brilliant book, C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I've read it like four times because it exposes the lies of the enemy in the most clever way.
Yes.
And, so I really tried to remember when those little things and those are going wrong.
Yes.
That it really is a spiritual attack. Like, it's bothering me so much because he knew it would bother me so much.
Yes.
And it's not just a coincidence that, you know, my car stopped, or it's just the tiny things. I'm like, show up in a red suit for the love of
Pete.
I
know,
right.
Don't show up like this. But it was a great book to expose that. So, okay. Well, we love you.
Yes. I love you all.
We love you so much.
Yes.
And
we love you all our listeners.
Yes.
We hope that you really got a lot out of this and go forward and live your life like an open book and get Toya's book so that you can...
Yes. Show notes. Yes. It'll be in there. Stop right there.
Toya Poplar.
And remind us because we're about to go into the exit music. We're of Tu's company.
Tu Minds Productions. Check him out. He's amazing.
Yep, and they will be in the show notes. We love you, peace out.
Bye.
The party's on. The feeling's here. That only comes this time of year.